This is the word of the Lord. It's given to us through the Holy Spirit who inspired the Apostle Paul. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, and to Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is the word of God, so that it builds itself up in love. I drew a parallel in the very first sermon in our study on the church as we looked at the word that Jesus uses in Matthew 16, the word you're familiar with, ekklesia, and talking about how that wasn't just the coining of a term, that out of midair, Jesus just thought, I think I will call it church, though Jesus would have generally not spoken Greek in his teaching. It would have been Aramaic. But nevertheless, under the inspiration of the Spirit, the word given to us to understand what Jesus intended and meant was a word that has particular importance to the people of God. From Sinai, God gave His law. He organized His kahal, His assembly, His church. Priests were given to offer sacrifices and teach His word. Elders, judges, priests were given to rule for the people. The truth was to be preserved and taught. The Levites, the priests were given the responsibility to teach the people, make sure they held securely the word of God, His law that was given on Sinai. All this so that the people could live holy lives. Right? The purpose was so that the people could live holy, as God Himself was holy. Well, then Jesus gathers His disciples and asks them the question, who do people say that I am? We've been through this. I know we're reviewing, but you need to see the parallel between those two events. What is done by God for the good of His people and what Jesus does for the good of His people. He drew from Peter that great confession of faith that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And as God ordered the building and organization of His church from Sinai, Jesus from on high orders the structure of His own church, the organization of His own church. Remember, He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And how does Christ build his church? His church. He builds His church with His church. He builds His church with living stones, as Peter himself writes in his first epistle. And we're going to look at that this morning. We have some steps to take to get there. There's some underlying things we need to remember, or at least to learn, before we get to dealing with the specific offices and organizational structure of the church. So the first thing we're going to see this morning is that the organization Christ gives is not outside or above the church. The organization Christ gives is not outside or above the church. Christ doesn't bring in people who are not in the church to lead the church. There is no clergy-laity separation. There is not those who belong to a higher level of relationship with God and then the rest of everyone else. Paul saw great divisions within the Corinthian church that arose when the people started giving celebrity status to Paul and Cephas and Apollos. You know, they were groupies over each of them, and these groupies highlighted, elevated before everyone else their particular favorite. It was uncomfortable and it was awkward to an apostle who held his apostleship from the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved him the same way he saved everybody else, by his own blood. It didn't fit the true relationship that the apostle Paul had as a member of the church. Apostles and preachers were part of the body, not outside of it. There were also in Corinth, as the Corinthians favored certain other men who came to town, claiming themselves to be apostles and taking positions of authority, such that Paul said, look, you listen to these people, even if they smite you on the face. You know, these people could come up to you, and because you have elevated them above the body of Christ, they can mistreat you. And you think, well, that's what makes them such good apostles, the way they can just mistreat us. The Apostle Paul here in Ephesians teaches very, very definitely, with great certainty and great force, that there is one body, and the organization Christ gives to it is from within that body. First, he teaches that there is absolutely one body. Any thought of there being a hard separation between the clergy and the laity is rejected by the Apostle Paul. Look at verses 4 through 6. And this is familiar to many of you who have long been in God's Word. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, Paul is not just speaking of the ordinary unity of the church. You know, we get along with one another, that we're together in worship, that we care about one another's lives. He is really being more specific. He is addressing a deeper issue. He's addressing the issue of unity across the spectrum of gifts and responsibilities in the church. A unity across the spectrum of gifts and responsibilities in the church. The essential unity of the body, Paul teaches here, comes from the unity we have in sharing a common experience of salvation. What we just read in one this, one that, one the other thing, as Paul goes through, one, one, one. What he describes here, if you look at it, it is a description of the experience of every Christian and salvation. Now you say, well, my testimony is different than so-and-so's. I went through this and they went through that. That doesn't matter. I mean, it matters in a sense of what God took you along to get you there. But every believer shares a common experience of salvation. After, when someone starts their testimony, they eventually get to things like we see here, no matter who it is. Every Christian is saved into one body by one Spirit through whom we are called to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who is a believer shares a single hope, the very same hope. Your experience of salvation was an experience where through the Word, hope was communicated to you about life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, and eternity with Him. We all share that. Every experience of salvation is experienced with the same Lord. We don't have different Lords. There is one faith. There is one way of salvation by grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Those who experience salvation experience it this way, by one faith. Doesn't matter who it is, an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, a New Testament prophet, from those days when they were given, all experienced the same thing. Does anyone in any church anywhere have a different spirit? No, not if they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't. Not if they're saved, they don't. Do they have a different calling? No, they are called to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who it is. Paul was a disciple. Peter was a disciple. Does anyone have a different faith, a different baptism, a different God and Father? No. There is one salvation experience shared by all believers. It's what makes it true conversion. It makes the true experience a true experience of salvation. Paul likens this unity, this oneness, to the human body. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says it is so much like a human body that the eye cannot say that somehow it is greater than the rest of the body. Though the organ of sight, we would admit, is pretty important. But we don't have the organ of sight from outside of ourselves, from outside of the body, it's from within it. And the hand is as much a part of the body as the foot. And the parts of the body with what appears to be less dignity have great dignity as part of the body. The organization then comes from within that one body. So that no one who has any position of authority, no one, comes to that position of authority from outside the body. And by the way, they're not taking outside of the body and put in a higher place. No leader in the church is taken from outside, from inside the body of Christ, and then taken outside the body so that it can rule over the rest of the body. The organization comes from within. It's like the skeleton. Right? The skeleton is part of the body. It upholds, it gives it structure and everything. But the skeleton is not the brace. It's not a knee brace. The skeleton is from within it. It lives and gives support to all the organs. It allows the body to move and allows all the functions of the body to carry out their function so they don't just fall into a just kind of a puddle of skin down on the floor. We're thankful for the skeletal body, but it is part of the body. Again, from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that the supporting work of every member is part of the body. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church," that is from within the body, not from outside of it, "from within the body of Christ, God has appointed people like apostles and prophets and teachers and miracles and gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. As many of those, of course, being connected to the New Testament era when the Scriptures were not finished, and that's a topic for another discussion. But what you see of importance here is that it is from that body, Paul is saying. All that the organization that the church needs, it has within herself. Because Christ ordered it that way. The very fountainhead of the servants of the church, when we get to speaking of particular offices in the church, the fountainhead of it is very clear. It is the body itself. Now, all the gifts, all the usefulness of every member of the body, everything that the church needs, it has within itself. Now you say, well, a local church may not have all the gifts to do everything, but the body of Christ does. We do not exhaust the body of Christ. The local congregations does not exhaust the body of Christ. That's why we can, you call a pastor, generally the pastor is from somewhere else, not all the time. Maybe someone who grew up in the church becomes the pastor of the church, but sometimes he comes from another church, but it's still the body of Christ. Comes kind of from within. And just because someone comes from outside the local congregation doesn't make them in any way, shape, or form an outsider to the common salvation experience that we all have. We've all been saved that way. So the ordinary New Testament pattern of church organization is not imposed from the outside. And Presbyterianism, that means that you don't have officers of the church imposed upon you. Because you're part of the body. And the service of the church comes from within the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, you have an interest and a say in who serves you in those positions. Because it's not thrown upon you. The pattern of church organization given by Christ respects the oneness of the body and isn't controlled by someone expected to be different and higher in their relationship to God. Secondly, the organization of Christ, or the organization Christ gives, is people. The organization itself is people. Let's look at verse 11 of Ephesians 4. The first three words, and He gave. It's not what He gave, but who He gave, by the way. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, pastors. Now, again, the emphasis here is not on the offices of the church. The emphasis is not saying, He gave these offices. Now, the New Testament gives us a structure, and we'll see that again, but not this morning. The emphasis is on the people who fill the roles. It is true there is an office of the apostolate back then. There are very strict guidelines for who can be apostle. You had to be with Jesus since His baptism. You had to have seen the risen Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, you're not an apostle. But there was an office given to that. There were prophets. There was an office. There were prophets that were given to the church. There was a prophetic office, Old Testament and early in the New Testament times. There was a ministry of evangelists, of evangelism rather. There were ministries of evangelism. There was a role of shepherd teacher. There was a role for that. But Paul isn't emphasizing the roles or the organization so much as he's saying that there's a people that fill those roles, and that's who the gift is. God's goodness to the church and His care for the church's future isn't just in a structure. It is not, if God can give an office of elder, He does, Christ does, But if he doesn't give people to fill those roles, does it matter that there's an office? If God gives a teaching and pastoral office to the church and says, I've established this office, and doesn't give anyone to fill that position, does it help the church? No. The church doesn't live off the ideas. The church lives because of its people, the people whom God gives. And that's exactly what he says. He gave the apostles. He doesn't say he gave the apostleship. Christ gives prophets. He doesn't just say he gave prophetism. Now again, apostles, prophets have their ending in the post-New Testament time. Evangelists. He doesn't just give evangelism, he gives evangelists. He doesn't just give the idea of having pastors and teachers, he gives pastors, teachers. The particular emphasis on the people is important to the Apostle Paul, because the organization coming from within, the only thing that can be built with is people. We tend to fall into mechanical ways of doing things, plugging into the organization and expecting a result to turn out. Offices take on a life of their own, but an organization doesn't work on its own just because it's organized. Rather, it is a very closed system. Paul tells us, to the body, from within the body, come the parts of the body who serve the body. It's a closed system, like the human body is with its respiratory system and its digestive system, its pulmonary system, it's the heart, the beating of the blood, the heart, the movement of the blood. It's all a system and it's very closed within itself. To the body, the church, from within the body, the church, its people, come the parts of the body, particularly gifted and given to this task, to serve the body. Do you see how enclosed that is? And see what a beautiful structure and organization that is that Christ gives to His church? He doesn't simply give the pastorate. He gives pastors. From where? From within the people. From within the body. To do what? To serve the body. Why? Because we all share the same experience of salvation. And anyone who's going to minister to anyone else must share with that other person that experience of salvation within the church. Now, this closed system works such that every ministry of the church is a ministry then of the whole body, because no member of the body is independent of the rest. Now, again, that just sounds like an idea. Let's put it into practice and how we see the ministries of our church. We do not have so much a ladies' ministry as we have the ministry of the church to ladies. We do not have a young career ministry as much as the church has a ministry to those just out of college or early in their careers. We do not have a youth ministry as much as the church has a ministry to its youth. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is this. If we say that we have simply these ministries that are going on within the church independently, then we segregate the church. In fact, one of the concerns is, as the elders were discussing just a couple of years ago, when we were looking at high school Bible study and young career Bible study and understanding what happens so often in churches, is that they take up a place of themselves. They become an inner circle that is segregated from the rest of the congregation. They enclose their friendships within that. The youth group would enclose their friendships among their peers. They would break from any understanding of their participation and place within the whole body of Christ. And that was a concern. And it should have been a concern. We were concerned about that. But what we wanted to see is the church's ministry to ladies, to youth, to young career families. To the men's Bible study, which some of us have at Panera Bread. It's not a men's ministry. That is the ministry of the church. Why? Because the participants and those who lead it, you know where they come from? They come from the body. And how many bodies are there? There's one. So if you're a participant in one of those groups, men's ministry, ladies' ministry, young career ministry, high school youth ministry, whatever it is, you need to understand that is the ministry of the church to you, the ministry of the whole body to you. The whole body doesn't participate. It's not the whole body who leads it, but it is members within the body who come out of the body, that are within the body, that function within the body to serve the body. Hopefully you can see that important, which I think is an important distinction. We have ministries of the church. Yes, to particular segments of the church, with particular needs of growth and maturity and interest, and we address that. But it is the church's ministry. Finally, the organization Christ gives serves the whole body. The people who are given in verse 11 had a task within the body that serves the whole body. If you look what follows. He gave these people, right, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The organization serves the whole body. Remember what we saw last week? The organization serves the organism. It's the organism that's important. That's true. It's important that God gave, and we want to follow biblical structure and organization. And we believe we do as Presbyterians, that we follow a proper biblical organization. But the purpose of the church is not to be an organization. We're a living body. And that organizational structure and the wisdom of God serves the growth of the whole body, as the Apostle Paul teaches. You can see the direct impact that the servants of God whom He has given has on the whole body. There's equipping, ensuring that all the saints, every member of the body, has the biblical wisdom to use whatever gifts the Lord has given them. Equipping the saints. Equipping the whole body. Because every member of the body is important. Building up. Seeing that the saints are growing in maturity together. Not just private one-on-one discipleship. Though we do that. There is some private discipleship. But the purpose of that private discipleship is not to make private individual Christians on their own. It's because every disciple, every member of the body, has a purpose in the body. And if we are not growing individually, then we are not participating in serving the body of Christ. If you are not growing individually, if you're not taking time, you think, well, the only person I hurt is myself. It's not the only person you hurt. If you are not seeking to grow as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not the only person you hurt. Because you're to grow so that the body can grow. So there's a direct impact that those people have on the whole. But notice the goal of it. The goal is not individual spiritual attainments. The goal is maturing in unity. A mature unity of the body. We are a congregation. And we are maturing together. Now, there may be some who have been Christians for so long that their personal spiritual testimony and witness and their growth and maturity may be greater. They're wiser. They've walked with the Lord a long time. But the body as a whole itself is growing together. You think, well, I'm new at the church, or maybe a new believer, and you think, what do I have to contribute? You have a lot to contribute. The moment you became part of the body of Christ, you are a part of the body of Christ. Plugged in. You're part of the structure. You're part of its growth. You add to its maturity. A new believer does not bring down the church. You know that? New believers, and God grant that we might be used to bring people to Christ, will not bring down this church. They'll strengthen it. You say, well, they take time and they don't do things right, and you know, we have to keep showing them. And well, you're part of the body. That's what part of the body does. The body supports itself. You should see your own growth as participating in us as a whole becoming more Christ-like as a church. That's the goal, to arrive at that stature of the fullness of Christ so that we may no longer be children. But notice the alternative too, by the way. The alternative is verse 14. The alternative to us growing together, to the body serving itself, as Christ draws from the body those who are to serve the body, the alternative is that we'd be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. That is the alternative. Without Christ ordering His church and us following that pattern of ordering, without us recognizing that from within the body comes those parts of the body that serve the body, we become a people who just listen to everything that comes by. Every member comes in and heard a different talk, a different teaching that is at variance with the teaching of Scripture, and they think it's pretty interesting, pretty curious. They pass it on to someone else. You got some people believing this, and then part of the church believes that, and the church ends up tossed to and fro. Craftiness and deceitful schemes. Brothers and sisters, as we look at the doctrine of the church, you need to look at one another. Not from a position of the idea of the church. I think we've seen enough that the church isn't just an idea. It's the body of Christ. And you need to look when you come in on Sunday mornings. You need to consider when you're in your individual studies with particular groups. You need to consider the brothers and sisters of Christ who, though they are not present with you, minister to you as the body ministers to itself. That we have an interest in our young families growing in their understanding of the Word together. We have an interest in our youth, our high school students, learning and growing in the faith. The whole church does. We have an interest in our ladies studying the Word of God together. We have an interest in that. Every one of you needs to know whatever benefits you find in this congregation is because of each and every member of it. Whatever you benefit from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is because of each and every member of it. That's two things. Makes you thankful to the body, want to serve the body. Secondly, makes you see that you are an important part of the body and you shouldn't try to skip out on the body. You shouldn't try to have just your own private witness, your own private testimony, your own private life. You want to be part of it. You want to own it. So long as the church is still moving towards maturity, and it is, Every member needs the order Christ gives from within. We all need it. We all need the order Christ gives from within the body. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank You for Your great wisdom and the wisdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, who builds His church using the people who share a common experience of salvation through faith in Christ, who share one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is in all. Lord, we pray that You would grant us as a congregation and every member to see the benefits we have as coming from every other member, whether it's in a small group Bible study or whether it's in the worship of God. Father, that we would take care, each of us, as You have placed us here, to be servants of the body. And we pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.